Turn it on, turn it up, turn me loose. You need one? I'm ready. Good evening, everybody. God bless you, and welcome to another time that we have been blessed to come together and worship the one and only Jesus Christ and make much of Him for the glory of the Father. And we pray that we'll do it. The Bible says the only way we can do it is in truth and in spirit. And so we invite the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us to join us together, and we're going to worship Him. I pray that you've had a blessed week. Looks like we're going to get some rain. I know it's tried to spit and sputter a little bit, and if I was going to ask for something with the weather, it'd be keep the wind and the electricity away, but bring on the rain. Beautiful. I do want to say thank you to Brother Danny. Brother Danny came out and worked at the house today and mowed my yard for me, and I appreciate that very much. But again, we're thankful for you being with us. If you've not shared this week's services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, or tonight, we ask if you would to share them, and thank you for those that do. We are so thankful that you help Thomas Village and our ministry go further than it ever has before. Also, I want to tell my Aunt Jane happy birthday today, too, so thankful for that. But tonight, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 5. I know last week we started a study, What Does the Bible Say About It, with Brother Tim. And we were going to do it this week and probably doing it from my office this week, but Brother Tim's grandmother has taken a turn for the worse, and the doctors are trying to figure out what's going on there. And so Brother Tim has gone down to Georgia, and so we're kindly just putting a postpone on it. But don't forget, the next time we study, it'll be as we studied last week. Remember, it was What Does the Bible Say About the Duties of a Pastor of a Church? And then so next, Lord willing, Wednesday, it'll be What Does the Bible Say About the Duties of the Church Member? And we'll try to keep it a little bit shorter. I'm going to recommend that we start at 6:45 so we can get the prayer request in and all that, and try to be done by 8 o'clock. But tonight we're going to begin our service with a song of testimony and praise. It's out of our Baptist hymnal, page 485, stand up for Jesus, all right? And if you were in here, I'd ask you to stand up right now so that we can be in line with the song. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye who are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Amen. Y'all sound good tonight. I can hear y'all. I can hear y'all through the waves of the computer and all that. No, we're thankful for all of you there and all of you that's gathered here tonight. I do think there may be some in the parking lot listening to us on the broadcast. WTVBC. That's our call letters. WTVBC. We added one. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Tonight, again, we will be in Proverbs chapter 5. We did do a study. You remember, for the past 2 years, anytime we would have our regularly scheduled business meeting, I would read the proverb before it, and we'd have a brief discussion. We did that back in 2019 over this scripture, and I don't think we'll get through all of the scripture tonight. I'm going to try to clump it together. Basically, you can break chapter 5 into three different paragraphs, 1 through 6, 7 through 14, and 15 through 23. And so we'll try to break them down. They're pretty self-explanatory, so the meat of it I'm not going to stretch out. But we're going to go through that tonight. But in the way of announcements, don't forget this Sunday morning, 10 a.m., come and be with us. We're trying to provide at least three ways that you can worship with us. If you don't feel comfortable coming to the parking lot, then you can watch us on Facebook. If you would like to come to the parking lot but really don't want to have any interaction with anybody, then you can come in and tune your radio to 88.1. And you can keep the windows up and wave at everybody, and that way you won't have to put a mask on or anything, and you can be there in the cool of your car. But also we'll have the speakers out, thanks to Brother Ken working on that, and we are so thankful for them. And I'm also thankful for the men that are continuing on with our devotionals. Appreciate them. It'll be me this Friday, so don't get too excited, but it'll be me. And I'm going to go through the numbers. Now, I've held off on the numbers for a long time, but this Friday I'm going to go through them. The good thing is we have more that have recovered than actually have the disease right now, are active with the sickness now. But in the way of announcements, again, we remind you of this Sunday evening at 6 o'clock as well. But the other thing is this Saturday, the Scott County community prayer walk, specifically on our end, it would be the schools of Rycove High, Rycove Intermediate, and Duffield Primary at 9 o'clock this Saturday morning, a.m. Pick your school, and there'll be a time of prayer at each school. So I think the plan is right now for Scott County to kick it back off the 24th, and then also continue to pray for the other counties as well. Lee County will be kicking back on the 20th. That's next Thursday week. So pray for them. In the way of prayer needs, number one, utmost and always, we want to pray for the lost. I don't know if you probably can't see that, but these are three full columns and then a beginning of another. All those names right there. We're unsure of their salvation, and we count it a privilege, but also our duty to call out those names. It's over 100, and so we want to pray for them. Also, the backslidden, those that have drifted away and are separated from Christ. Also, as I'm studying for this Sunday's message, pray for those that are lost but blinded to the fact that they're lost. You know, in the South, where we are, sometimes baptism and church membership is a rite of passage to many people. You know, you get to a certain age and you get baptized, you get to another certain age, you join the church, you get married and have a family. What, that's just what you do. You know, that's who we are in the South. That's a part of our culture. But a lot of people, I think the devil has used that type of stuff, you know, that they mimicked a prayer during VBS or something like that, and they're just not certain. I mean, they did what the pastor said to do, but they just don't have that walk that's supposed to accompany it. So I just pray right now, and I ask you to pray that God just open up their eyes. This morning, probably right now what I'm looking at is there's 4 to 5 questions or 4 to 5 beliefs that good moral people have, but they're going to die and go to hell. And most Christians have those same beliefs. And so we'll probably be looking at that Sunday morning. So just pray for that. Also, we want to pray for the depressed. You know, pray for those that are down. This isolation isn't good for people. Few and far between. Even those that are loners ain't good at being isolated for long periods of time. We want to pray for the Kent Smith family. That's the relatives of Brother Otis and Sister Lynn. We want to lift them up. He went home to be with the Lord and was ready to go and was looking forward to going. He went home to be with the Lord Sunday morning. The James Ashman family, the Michael Turner family. We want to pray for Miss Sally Grebe. I've not spoken with her this week. She's supposed to see a specialist, the oncologist this week to find out more about what to do with the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but as far as she knew last week, it was in very early stages, and so we give God the glory for that. Also, we want to pray for Brother K. Jesse. We want to pray for Sister Catherine Ward. We want to pray for Charles Ayers, Angie Farmer, Brother Tommy and Sister Alma Mullins, Randy Flansler, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Gary Adkins and wife, Patrick Fields, Riley Clements, John Berry, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Paul Weiniger, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Kinsley Roberts, Linda Jordan, Lynn Mullins, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Jill Dysart, Merle Edwards, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Sheila Stanley, Paul Hahn and family, Jason Tate family, JC and Derek Osborne and their unborn triplets, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby, Miss Cindy Osborne, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten. I want to add tonight Miss Reba Starnes, Lord knows, I can't remember her last name right now, but she called to church by accident today, and we had a good conversation, and so we're thankful for that. Also, we want to continue to pray for Donnie Fields, Miss Lottie, Miss Alma, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Miss Liza Fletcher, Stokes, Reba Stokes. Y'all know her. She was here for a long time and had a good, I told her we're just trying to carry on the ministry that her and her husband help establish here at Thomas Village. We want to pray for Brother Margaret and Sister Brother Chet and Sister Margaret Wheeler, Miss Henrietta Roach and the family there as they're ministering, Brother Bobby and Miss June Jesse, Miss Wilma Jean and Miss Wilma Williams, Miss Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, and then Peter. Also, don't forget, our elections are coming up right now, and so we want to continue to pray for that. Also, pray for Waycross, Georgia, and the police department down there. There's just some incidents that went on down there with some juveniles and shootings and stuff like that. Nobody got killed, but you know, with the tension and everything that's going on right now, it's just a tough situation. Any other prayer needs tonight?
Carolyn Legg.
Carolyn Legg.
And continue to pray for
Chandra
London.
Yes, ma'am. Anyone else?
Tate and Turner families.
The Turner families?
Did
we? Okay, okay.
Yeah. I let you go through the list and told you to fix it. I did. I said, here, check over me. I know that I don't know. So I gave it to my deacon and let him check it out. All right. We are thankful that God answers prayers and he hears prayers. And Sister Pam sent me a prayer request answered today. And I think that we made it a specific matter of prayer last Sunday night. And God was awesome. And it's just by his mercy and his grace, you know, that he is wonderful. And if you're watching tonight, it's good. And we're going to keep praying for you. But right now, let's just have a few moments of silence, and then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you just mindful of those that are watching and listening right now, Lord, that just as many as we have on this list, they probably have a list just as long. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful tonight to know that you are not a respecter of persons, and that what you'll do for one, you'll do equally for another. And so, God, even when our needs aren't the same, you're still able. And so, God, I thank you for the answered prayers. I thank you for the home that you found. I thank you for the healing that you've brought. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the soul that you've brought to you. And God, tonight we just lay all these needs to you. As we consider, we have 3 to 5 families that are going through bereavement on this list tonight, God, and our heart goes out to them. Lord, we are thankful that you're a God that stood by a tomb and you wept over the loss of a loved one, and you know and you feel the grief that they're feeling right now. But God, I'm thankful that you say you will not leave us comfortless. And so, Lord, I just pray that you wrap your arms around them right now and just bring them that peace. Maybe I know that not all the questions will be answered, but Lord, you're still able to bring peace even with unanswered questions. So God, we thank you for that. I pray for Sister Sally tonight. Lord, I spoke with her and she was of good spirits, but she said, Lord, it's in those down times when you're not being able to be busy, that you're not able to, that the devil and the flesh fight against you and try to bring fear and worry and doubt into your mind. And so we just rebuke that in her life and in those that are depressed. We pray for marriages tonight. God, we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those that need salvation, Lord, that we ask you, if you would, to just call them once again, because we know no man comes unless you call. And so, Lord, if you would tonight, please draw them to you and save them. And God, I just want to close out by saying thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for saving me. And God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I ask the Holy Spirit to direct and guide the teaching tonight. And that most of all, that we'll learn, Heavenly Father, Lord, our lives will be changed, and we'll learn what it means to be people of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But God, I pray tonight that Christ Jesus be glorified. And it's in his name, amen and amen. All right, as you're turning to the book of Proverbs chapter 5, if you're not there already, I do want to remind you that no one loves you like Jesus, and no one's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your heart and your life to him today, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. If you have known me very long, if you've listened to my preaching very long, specifically any other preaching outside of Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights, those are special services. There's just more of a camaraderie, more of a fellowship in those services. Not saying that they're any better than the morning service. They're just different. There's a fellowship that's there. But you know that part of my recommended reading for anybody on a daily basis is a proverb. I think that each of us need wisdom in our daily walk. I think that common sense is basically a thing of the past anymore, and that if you have common sense, you're one leg up on most people in this world today. But for every day of the month, you know, we've got anywhere from 28 to 31 days in any given month. And so what you do is at the beginning of the month, you start out with the first chapter and you read along with whatever the date is for that month. You get the 28, end of it, you jump back to the beginning. And I promise you this, that you reading those Proverbs every day, if it's only one verse, the Lord will use that verse in your life to encourage, to provide wisdom, to give understanding, something He'll work in your life. I promise you that. And then also, if you're just starting to read the Bible very much, go to John. I prefer John, but really and truly, any of the three Gospels, I think those are wonderful because, praise God, we want to know more about our Jesus. The more we know Him, the more we love Him, the more we love Him, the more we want to do for Him and be like Him. And so, Proverbs, and then read you a Gospel. And I could go on. You could pull in one of the historical books, you know, over in the law from Genesis to Leviticus, and then the epistles of Paul, which kind of give us understanding about the churches. That's what I want. I want us to be an authentic church. I don't want us to be what the time says is modern. I want us to be like the first church was. I want us to be in their line and in their walk, you know. But all right, tonight we're in Proverbs, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it out of the King James, and then we'll do our study out of the English Standard. But beginning in verse 1, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom." Hold on just a second. "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down into death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thy honor unto others and thy years to the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, and thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in thy street. Let them be only thine. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden by the cords of his own sin, and shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Now, what is a proverb? It's been a few weeks, so I want to go through this. A proverb usually is a brief statement, a kindly bullet point that provides general advice and overall wisdom. Now, what we're seeing in the first chapters, the first 5 to 7 chapters, is that when Solomon is writing this, he's dealing with less bullet point and more ideas, overall ideas. And so, like I said, tonight we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6, 7 through 14, and then 15 through 23. And each one of those will be over a general idea. But it's going to be one whole topic in this passage tonight, is the good thing. As we know, and we're told in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, that most of the book has been written or either was compiled by the wisest of all men, the wisest of all kings, and that is King Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba. Now, when you look into the book of Proverbs, you'll see that it breaks down into basically three types of general wisdoms, three types of topics. And you have general wisdom, which is good for all of us, and we all need that wisdom. Then there is insight to rulers and leaders and those that are in positions of authority. And then specifically here, it's like to government officials, kings and princes and different things like that. And then there's the wisdom that a parent gives to a child, and the same vice versa, how a child relates to their parents and to their grandparents. And so tonight we would probably say this falls under general wisdom. But the greatest of all wisdom is found early within the book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, if you go back to verse 7 of chapter 1, this is the general overall idea of the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to come back to this because we're going to see that it's really a theme throughout all the Bible. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and fools despise wisdom and discipline. So we see that the idea here is that to fear the Lord, to respect the Lord, and to put Him in His proper position, and recognize that, yes, at any moment He could take our life and doesn't have to answer to anybody or anything for it. He is that powerful and that supreme. As Creator, He who has given us life, He has the right to take it anytime. Nobody else has that right, but only He alone. And I want to go through some words that we've used here. If you remember, we talked about the word knowledge. We're going to hear that word a lot tonight. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Almost in every chapter, you see those words repeated. So what is knowledge? Knowledge is the awareness and the retaining mentally of truth. Foundational truth. We're not talking about science, and we're not talking about history, but we're talking about general truth, the truth of God and what He lays out, specifically what He says, what He values, what He deems is right, and the way that He expects us to live. That is knowledge. That is if we have a retention of that in our brain. And we know this. We can know something here, but it may never affect the way that we live or the way we act. But see, then we have the knowledge. We have the overall retaining of some truth. But then we have understanding. And understanding takes knowledge and is willing to apply it in our lives. We take that truth, and then we allow that truth to be lived out as we go through our day and as we go through our week and our month and our year. And so then you take knowledge and wisdom together, knowledge and understanding together, and you have a person who is acting wisely, or one who is living in wisdom. And so in short, wisdom is when godly knowledge is applied in our daily lives. Wisdom is when godly knowledge is applied in our daily lives. So, now that brings us back to Proverbs chapter 5. And again, verses 1 through 6, verses 7 through 14, and verses 15 through 23. Now, as we look at this chapter, a lot of it has to deal with the physical love relationship between a man and a woman. Some would say that it becomes very blunt there at the end, where it tells you to be satisfied with the wife of your youth. But as we look at this chapter, we're going to see three things. In the first couple of verses, we're going to see a warning. And then we're going to see the consequences if that warning is not received. And then we'll see the joy and blessings found in a godly and proper physical relationship. But as we go through this chapter, there's something that we've got to remember about the overall theme that continues to be the overall theme in this chapter as well. Remember, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. If you were to jump over to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, you'll hear this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And then if you jump over into Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. So we see that the theme, the overall abounding theme, no matter what chapter you go to in Proverbs, is going to be The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Having God in the right place in your life is where true wisdom begins. But then, this is a key theme through all of Scripture. Job chapter 28, verse 8, it says this, He, meaning God, said to mankind, The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And the evil turn away from understanding. So what's he saying? Now remember, wisdom is the enacting of God's truth, understanding, letting wisdom and understanding come together, and we live it out in our life. But what does he say? He says that the evil one runs away from understanding. What? They don't apply God's truth. They might have heard it. They may have it or retain it in their mind. We know many people who were raised up in the church, but yet their lives today show nothing. They could quote Scripture, they could teach Bible lessons, but it doesn't affect the way that they live. And then in Psalms chapter 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. All who follow His instruction have good insight. His praise endures forever. So what do we see? We see all through, specifically the Old Testament, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that we need for life is related to the right position of God in our life. And then we take it now as we... Now remember, that was in the Old Covenant. Now we know the embodiment of wisdom. What did Jesus say? Jesus is who? He is the Word. He is the outward expression of God. He is the physical display of God's truth. And so now, how are we, when we have Christ Jesus in our life, then we are on the road to living a wise life and having a life that lives on through eternity. But the theme again here, and remember, we're going to be looking at the physical and immoral sexual relationship tonight. But in Proverbs, again, the writer discusses the pitfalls and the blessings of a physical relationship between a man and a woman. Still, his key point is that if we build a relationship with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, not a relationship with someone on that, but that we put wisdom number one in our life before any other. Because remember, if we do put wisdom in number one in our life, who's number one? God is. See, remember the fear of the Lord. So if we do that, if that's the main relationship that we have, then we're told that any other relationships we have will be blessed, specifically the relationship with our spouse. It will be the best relationship and the blessed relationship. And will also not fall into the prey or to the fall prey to or into the traps of the wicked one. And so now let's look in verses 1 through 6. A warning about sexual immorality. My son, pay close attention to my wisdom. Listen closely to my understanding so that you will maintain discretion and your lips safeguard knowledge. Though the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her words are smoother than oil, in the end she is bitter as wormwood and as a sharp double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps head straight for hell. She does not consider the path of life. She doesn't know that her ways are unstable. Now, the way that chapter 5 begins should be pretty familiar. My son, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it begins this way. Son, accept my commandments for wisdom and understanding. Then you jump over to Proverbs 3, verse 1. Son, don't forget my teaching, and you will have a fulfilled life and a life full of well-being. Jump over to chapter 4, verse 1. Son, listen to your father's discipline, because in it is understanding. So in all these, we see... And we know, and we're going to talk about Rehoboam in just a little bit, but Solomon seems to be talking to his child. And so here he says, pay close attention to my wisdom, listen closely to my understanding. As we know, King Solomon is writing to his son. Now, a lot of you may know, some of you may not know, his son's name was Rehoboam. And who was Rehoboam going to be? He was going to be king. He was the prince, and so he was going to be king. But what was he wanting? He was wanting, the father wanted his son to have wisdom so that he would be blessed and benefited, a wise king, a wise father, and a wise leader. That's what he wanted. But just to kind of let you know what happened, and we're going to see why it happened in just a second. After Solomon dies, Rehoboam steps up to be king, but then there's another one named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was an overseer under Solomon, but he led a revolt which split Israel. He established a new kingdom, he established a new capital, and he established a new religion to keep those that were of the northern kingdom, which when you read Kings and Chronicles, that's going to be Israel. That's what's known as Israel. And Israel never had a good king. You can always know that. But he started all these new things, specifically a new religion, and built a new temple because he wanted to keep his people from returning to Judah, the southern kingdom, which Rehoboam was king over. Now, remember, in case you didn't know, what happened was there was a split. And the tribes of Reuben, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Ephraim, and Manasseh, they went with Jeroboam. They went with the overseer. And that's why he had all those people. He had all those backers. And so he built this new country, new temple, new religion. And so then all you had left in the southern kingdom, which is known as Judah, you had the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Levi, which really they didn't remember, the tribe of the Levites didn't have any land. Their provision or their gift from God was what? The temple, the work of the Lord. They were the priesthood. And then you had Judah. You had the tribe of Judah. So you had nine up here in this kingdom and three down here in this kingdom. But Solomon knew that Rehoboam, even though he may not have been prince over the whole, he knew that he was going to be the prince one day. And as a leader in royalty, Solomon wanted his son to be wise, live wise, lead wisely, and to be prosperous in all of his ways. Now, consider that earthly father wanting that for his earthly son. Now consider the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. 1 John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them right to be sons of God, to those that believe in His name. Now, the King of Kings has made us to be His heirs. And so, if we are princesses, you're princesses, and we're princes of God. So, think about how much Solomon desired for his child to be wise and to live wisely and to be a good leader and to be prosperous. How much more would our Heavenly Father does He desire for us to be wise? That's why He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Put me first in your life and you will be on the track for wisdom. So the Father is telling His children here, specifically there in verses 1 and 2, when He says, listen to me. He's saying, receive my instructions, apply my understanding, and you will have wisdom. You will have wisdom. And if we do that, look what He says will happen to us in verse 2. He says, do this, receive this of me. And then in verse 2, He says, what will happen? We will maintain discretion. Now, discretion is knowing what is right and what is wrong and doing what is right. That's discretion. That's being able to look and see. And praise God, today we live in a world where there's a lot of gray. People put stuff out there. They say this, they say that. And we need the wisdom of God so we will make the right choices and walk in the right path. But this is the one that I really like, the second one in verse 2. He says, and your lips safeguard knowledge. He's saying, hey, if God is first in your life, if you apply my understanding, if you receive my wisdom, then guess what? There's going to be a protection placed on your mouth. Could you imagine how much I would say wrongly if I didn't follow after Christ? I mean, think about it. He's saying, I'll do my best to guard your lips from saying the wrong thing. You'll not do the wrong thing, and you'll not say the wrong thing if we seek after wisdom and make our relationship with God number one in our life. Then the father presents his children with a situation in which wisdom is very needful. Matter of fact, it's a situation That was one of the weak points in the wisest of all men's lives, Solomon. And that is sexual immorality and, to a lesser extent, unequal unions. Unequal unions. Proverbs chapter 3 through 4. The lips of a foreign woman. Now, the foreign woman, the idea here with Israel would mean a foreigner, an alien, or a forbidden woman would mean an alien, someone from another nation, someone from another religion, someone that was not Jewish and did not practice the Jewish culture. He says, they drip like honey and her words are smoother than oil, but in the end she is as bitter wormwood. Meaning she's unpleasant. I don't know all I can think about is biting into a lemon and how, you know, you make that face or you get a hold of something that's bad and when you get it in your mouth, castor oil or something like that, you know what I mean? Just that, when it's in your mouth. It says that she's sharp as a double-edged sword. Now, way back when Israel was just a large group of people walking around in the desert, when Moses received the laws for the nation of Israel, God said something to the nation of Israel about forbidden marriages. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 through 4. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, because they will turn your sons away from me to worship other gods. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will swiftly destroy you. He's warning against marrying those of a different faith, or what we would say faith today, but then it was of a different culture and religion. But Solomon didn't listen to that. Listen what it says that Solomon did over in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. King Solomon loved many foreign women in addition to Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittite women. For the nations that the Lord had told the Israelites about, do not intermarry with them, and they must not intermarry with you, because they will turn you away from me to their gods. Solomon was deeply attached, I mean he was emotionally attached to these women, and loved them. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and they turned his heart away from God. So you see, King Solomon said, I'm not going to listen to that. And you know what? King Solomon might have been like many people in modern day society, like many Americans, even those that profess to be Christians. He might have said something like this: well, the way of life has changed. The scripture is no longer relevant for this day and age, because you know it had been almost 480 years, 500 years from Moses to Solomon. And so he says, man, we're living in a different time. They were walking around in the desert. I'm the king. We're modern now. You know what? America, how old is America? 245 years old. But what do we say anymore? It might have been good at one time, but we live in a different society. We live in a different world. Well, let's see what happened to Solomon, okay? He said in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, when Solomon was old, his wife seduced him to follow other gods. He was not completely devoted to Yahweh, his God, as his father David had been. Solomon followed Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and unlike his father David, he did not completely follow Yahweh. And Solomon went on to build worship centers for false gods. The god called, they're called Chemosh, Ashtoreth, Milcom, and he built them just outside the city walls. Now think about this. And listen what it said. It says, Solomon followed after Ashtoreth. He followed after Milcom, the detestable gods of the Ammonites. Now, think about this. If we go back over to chapter 5, chapter 6, we see when the Lord said, you've built me this house, you're doing good things, what do you want? He says, I want to be a good king. Give me wisdom. And God said, praise God, that's a good answer. Not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you wealth, I'm going to give you riches, and I'm going to make you the wisest man that's ever been. If you read in verse 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Solomon loved the Lord by walking in the statutes of his father David. But yet he goes from that to writing this wisdom. And we can say that even people that don't know Christ, if they practice some of this stuff in this book, specifically Proverbs, they would have a blessed life. What happened? He was mismatched in his relationship and allowed physical relationships to interfere with his relationship with God. When I sit down with somebody, and we're usually when I marry somebody, we sit down at least 2 to 3 times for there to be a time of discussion, for me to get to know them, for them to get to know me, because they may not want me to marry them after I tell them my views and things like that. But the one thing specifically that I let them know at the beginning is, if one of you is a Christian and one of you is not, I will not marry you. I'm not going to do it. Now, what if both of them were unsaved? I'd consider that. If both of them's Christian, got no problem with it. But if they're one's saved and one is not saved, I won't do it. Not just because Old Testament stuff. But listen what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? That's what he says. You know, I want to tell you this. I'll just be flat out honest with you. After salvation, after receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the next biggest, the second biggest decision of your life is who your life partner will be, who your spouse will be. And let me say, when I say life partner, when I say spouse, I mean someone of the opposite sex that I believe God created for you to have to be your partner, for two to become one around Christ Jesus. And so that's why I'm not going to... And here's the thing. Here's the thing. A lot of believers get this mindset. They meet their so-called one they love or whatever, and they're not saved. What do they say? Well, I'm going to straighten them out. I'd say 80% never lead that person to the Lord. Matter of fact, I believe it goes the opposite way. Matter of fact, you can think of right now of a good boy or a good girl who married somebody that was not in church, that was not, and you don't know where they're at right now. They're not in any church. And so see, we see that who we marry, who we choose to be in a relationship with, will greatly affect. And that's why he's warning his son. Listen to what he says. He goes on to warn about her. He says, listen, she's beautiful. She speaks well. Her lips are like honey, but what is it? Hey, she leads people to hell. And you could make this a man. I mean, you could very easily put this on a man. He leads people to death. Notice what he says. He says, she doesn't even understand what she's doing. He doesn't even understand what they're doing. But their ways are unstable. And a relationship with them will lead to hell and destruction. So he gives us that warning. And then, as we jump on into verses 6, 7 through 14, he says, so now my sons, again, the father to the child. This we could put the heavenly father to his children right here. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Remember, the relationship with wisdom needs to come before. Our relationship with God needs to come before our relationship with anyone. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Keep your way from her. Don't go near the door. Don't even think about marrying somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Don't even think about dating someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That ought to be one of the first questions you ever ask when you start talking with someone. Are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? Notice what it says. Otherwise, and now we're focusing more on the sexual immorality. He says, otherwise, you surrender your vitality. You surrender your honor. You surrender your vigor. You surrender your mental and physical strength. And might I add spiritual strength as well. To others. and your years to the cruel. Strangers will drain your resources. Your hard pay will end up in the house of a stranger. At the end of your life, you will lament. You will be filled with sorrow and mourning. Specifically, if, and believe you me, I think this addiction in America right now is as bad as alcohol and drugs. And that's sex addiction, pornography addiction. And look what he says here. He says, you'll give your money to strangers. Your resources will be soaked up. Verse 11, at the end of your life, you will lament. You will sorrow and mourn when your physical body has been consumed. Then you will say, how I hated discipline. Isn't that the world we live in right now? Don't tell us what to do. We don't want no boundaries in our life. Let me ask you this. How much fun would football be to watch if they didn't have out of bounds? If they just got to run anywhere they wanted to go? You see, God knows what He's doing. That's why He's a God of structure. And within the structure, we find fulfillment. We find purpose. We find the right path. He says, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised correction. People don't want to be told they're wrong anymore. That's why they won't listen to the opposite parties. They just want somebody to pat them on the back and say, you're right, keep believing like you're believing. They don't want to hear an altered term. Verse 13, I didn't obey my teachers or listen closely to my instructors. I am on the verge of complete ruin in the view of the entire community. So we see, the first paragraph, he focuses on the relationship of the Son and wisdom. Let that relationship be first. And then don't fall for the flattery of the opposite sex. Even though they're pretty, even though they smooth talking, even though they know exactly what to say, in the end, they lead to hell. And they don't even know what they're doing. And see, and then he says, the consequences of it there. You'll be drained of your resources. You'll lose your money. Your body will be broken down. And you'll lay there and you'll be on the verge of ruin in front of your entire community. And then you'll remember, I didn't listen to discipline. I didn't listen to correction. I hated it. I didn't listen to those that tried to point me in the right direction. And then he moves on in verses 15 through 23 in closing to enjoy our marriages. Enjoy your marriages. Look what he says. Drink water from your own cistern. Now, the cistern is your spouse. Specifically here, it's in regards to a female. But our cisterns are where we find our refreshing. And that's what God has given us each other for. To be a helpmate. To come alongside, to uplift, encourage. What? Notice, he says, drink water from your own cistern, water that flows from your own well. Listen, should your spring flow in the streets? Do you want somebody else drinking out of your cup? Your stream in the public square? No, we don't want that. And so we shouldn't be trying to do that, drink from somebody else's cup. They, verse 17, they should be for you alone, not to be shared with strangers. Verse 18, let your fountain be blessed. Take pleasure in the wife or the husband of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast always satisfy you. Be lost in her love forever. I love that translation out of the English. Be lost in their love forever. Verse 20, why, my son, would you lose yourself with a forbidden or a foreign, an alien woman, or embrace a wayward or somebody that's out of the way, our way, out of the right way? For a man's ways are before the Lord's eyes. God faithfully observes all our pathways. God's watching. Verse 22, a wicked man's iniquities will trap him. A wicked woman's sin will trap them as well. What a beautiful, it's not beautiful, but I think it shows it. He or she will become tangled in the ropes of their own sin. Many people today are bound by something they thought, I'll just do it one time. I'll just do it for fun. And now it's got them tied down. It tells them when to get up, tells them where to go. He or she tells them when to get up, where to go. But listen at verse 23, and I love this translation.
he or she will die because of a lack of discipline. They will be lost because of their great stupidity. Remember, he started out wisdom. Wisdom. Let that relationship be first. If that's the first, your relationship with God, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then he says, for those that fall astray, those, why? Because they choose to be stupid. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? It is, but I think sometimes we need blunt. We live in a world where people say blunt is mean anymore, and it's not. It's not. I know, snowflakes. Ain't that what they call them? Snowflakes. But praise God. The Father wants us to be wise. And so he lays it out to us. And he even uses the failure of others as we look at Solomon. And we see where his began. It began because of the wrong relationship. He started out with Pharaoh's wife, or Pharaoh's daughter. God said, don't be joined. Don't be unmatched. And the same goes true for today. All right. God bless you. I love you. And Lord willing, we'll see you Friday, okay? Bye-bye.